Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Nation. That's the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Reynolds here high atop the barbecue world in Portland. And we'd like to welcome all of our affiliates up and down the coast on the Radio Northwest Network. And for some of you, we're on a couple of new stations here in Portland. We're on KXGT and KUFO. So the Barbecue Nation, of course, we discuss all things barbecue, outdoor cooking, food, and fun. How's that? We've got one of the Hall of Famers with us today, and it's really my pleasure to bring this young man on board. He was a really big influence on the barbecue world and a big influence on, like, the Kansas City Barbecue Society, and I'm going to let him tell you his story. But it's Artie Davis. He's a well-known judge, of course, on the barbecue circuit. Artie has written, I think, 11 books, something like that, on barbecue. He founded a barbecue sauce contest. Anyway, we're going to get to all that here. And first of all, welcome, Artie.
Well, thank you, Jeff. It's great meeting you on the radio, and I hope we cross paths on the barbecue trail soon.
Oh, you will. But I got to ask one question that, since I started doing a little research on you and stuff, one thing I really have to ask: how did somebody with majors in sociology and philosophy end up working in the barbecue world?
Oh, gosh, it's a perfect natural fit. First of all, sociology has, you have to be very curious about people and rituals and ceremonies and all that. So that's been a great help to me in the barbecue nation. And philosophy, I mean, barbecuers were the original philosophers. Back when, they used to sit around campfire eating barbecue meat and talking about the meaning of life. And, you know, you've heard the expression of, I have a bone to pick with you.
Sure.
You know, that's goes all the way back to our barbecue tradition. That's my story anyway.
I like your story, and I'll let you stick with it. How's that? Go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, there's a lot of barbecue has a lot to do with philosophy. I mean, just aesthetics, ethics, logic, the whole bit, you know.
Well, and I know
philosophers are good storytellers too.
That is true, because I know
that happens in barbecue.
Yes, there's a lot of people I know, and I guess I'm guilty of it too, that after you put on a big spread all day long or doing something like that, and your friends, and finally things calm down, and you're sitting around, maybe, you know, kind of wiping the sauce off your chin and having a beer or something, and then the philosophy starts, and it can go forever.
Blowing smoke.
Yeah. Well, give us a little history. You and I were talking before we came on the show.
Sure.
You started back in the 80s, wasn't it, with sauces and stuff?
That got me involved in competition barbecue.
Yeah.
I go back and credit my dad with giving me the barbecue bug. You know, he was an auto painter in Oklahoma City, and he built his own brick pit, and he was very inventive. He used a car jack to raise and lower the fire bed, and he had to work till noon on Saturdays, so Sunday was his barbecue cooking day, or sometimes he'd grill Saturday night. So I got the bug from him, and then it was really 1984 when I got the Kansas City bug and got involved with Kansas City Barbecue. I just got an idea to start a sauce contest. I was reading Road Food by Shane and Michael Stern. And I thought, wow, they have a great great job. You get to go around the country eating and writing about it, but I can't afford that. So, and I was particularly interested in their barbecue reviews. So I decided, well, I could write to these places and have them send me some sauce, and I would get a taste of a glimpse of what the place is like. So I did. There were like 80-some restaurants in there. I wrote to all of them. Some sent sauce free. Some I paid for it. I went all over Kansas City getting sauces. Had more than 100 and for the contest. Invited friends and neighbors. Developed a judging system.
Mm-hmm.
And wrote an oath, which has been adapted now by the Barbecue Society, where all judges who are judging at a barbecue KCBS event have to take the oath before they judge. And that's one of my proudest accomplishments. I love it. Every weekend there's several hundred, if not thousand, people taking that oath. So that the contest got me involved with other local barbecue people, Paul Kirk, Carolyn Wells, Gary Wells, Guy Simpson, the KC Rib Doctor, on and on. And we've become just a regular family that's expanded globally now. I mean, we have members in other countries all over the Pacific Northwest. Lots of good members out there. So it's opened all kinds of doors, and it's, as I like to go by Ben and Jerry's philosophy, if it isn't fun, why do it? And so far, I'm still having a lot of fun, as I know you are.
Oh, yeah, we're having fun here. So what did it take when you guys were starting to push for the barbecue at the Royal? I mean, I'm an old horse guy. I mean, you read my bio, you know that, and I'm very familiar
it's
with...
It's a perfect fit. We need you at the Royal every year.
Well, I could probably make something like that happen, but...
good. I'd love to see you here this fall.
Yeah, we could probably do that. How hard was it?
I don't know who got the idea at the American Royal to do a barbecue, but it goes way back. And the first one I went to was in the early days. They had it in the parking lot at the Golden Ox restaurant, which, if you've been to Kansas City, that's not a very big parking lot. And so I decided that this was before I started a sauce contest. So when I decided to do the sauce contest, I set a date that wouldn't conflict with the American Royal Barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess part of the reason the rationale for starting one was the American Royal is down in the West Bottoms, which used to house the old Kansas City Stockyards. I think they were about second in size to Chicago. So that was part of the inspiration, I'm sure. There was just, you know, it was part of the history of the American Royal.
Mm-hmm.
And it grew for several years. In the beginning, it ran into the red instead of the black in terms of cost. And then a fellow named Jack Kay, who was president of Polaris Electronics, and sadly we've lost him several years ago. He was a businessman and determined to make it into an even better contest and to not cost the Royal money. So I credit Jack with really bringing the American Royal into its success.
Sure.
And ever since then, it just keeps growing. Now we have a great staff. We have very supportive board of directors. It takes a whole lot of people, a lot of teamwork, and a lot of logistics. But when you are there, you don't notice. Everything runs smoothly, so you don't notice. If you're not behind the scenes, you don't know how much work it is. But
right.
I really credit the staff and the people, the many volunteers who make it a success.
Absolutely.
You know, it really helps with the education programs that the American Royal puts on.
Yes, it does. And, you know, if people have never been to the Royal, they should go. We're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. We're going to be back with Hall of Famer Artie Davis in just a few seconds. Little Reba here. Reba's an Oklahoma girl.
Yeah, she is.
We'll be back.
It's Full Flavored Radio, Barbecue Nation with JT.
Whoever's gone, the furniture is missing. I guess you got it all. This is where it ought to hurt.
Oh, yeah, Miss Reba right here on Barbecue Nation. Can't even get the blues no more. Been there, done that. We've got Artie Davis with us today. He is a Hall of Fame member from the Kansas City area. So I guess you know what I'm talking about. If you want to get in touch with us here at The Nation, you can email us at barbecuenation@kxl.com. That's bbqnation@kxl.com. Or recipes, if you want to send us a recipe. You can pick any. We've got like 400 different email addresses, so just send it. It'll get here. Recipes@kxl.com. And Mr. Reynolds?
Facebook.
Yes.
Facebook.com/barbecuenation with JT.
And we've got some good stuff up there now. We do. We're getting a little traction on that. I will confess I was not a big Facebook guy as far as the interactive stuff. You know, I like to post the pictures and things, but we're getting that. Also, a couple of our affiliates, KWRO in Coos Bay and KPNW in Eugene, and I will announce that on the weekend after Super Bowl, whatever that Saturday is, the 10th maybe? Something like that? 10th?
We'll fact check this here.
We'll fact check that. Anyway, the Barbecue Nation is launching in Seattle on KVI up there. 4 to 5 o'clock. So there you go. All right. Artie Davis, Hall of Famer. He's written, was I right, Artie? 11 books?
Yes, 11. Yep. I feel very blessed to have found publishers that, you know, asked me to do it.
There you go. Now, when you, I've written a couple books, small books. They're not, you know, they're not War and Peace or anything like that.
Well, you know how much work it is.
Yeah. What kind of stimulates you to say, oh, I could do a book about this?
Well, as I said, I've had the good fortune to every book that I tried Bean Soup Cookbook years ago, and I got 12, 13 rejection letters. I still think it's a great book, but it's not published. And so the ones that I've done have come to me. The first one was A Pocket Guide to Kansas City Barbecue, and Karen Adler, the owner of Pig Out Publications, asked me to do that one. That got me started. And then Dennis Hayes, who was then at 10 Speed Press in Berkeley, called me and said, we want to do a great barbecue sauce book, and you're the guy. And so I did that one for them.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrews McMeal here in Kansas City, with Paul Kirk and I have done several books for them at their request. So, you know, they just kind of land in our lap. We've been lucky in that respect. We're working on one now that we haven't found the publisher, but we're going to keep plugging along.
Are you telling me you haven't gotten famously wealthy for writing barbecue books?
Oh gosh, I wish it's fun. I've signed a lot of books and, you know, had a lot of fun doing the books, but in terms of wealth, I wouldn't say it's been lucrative. I would be starving if I had to depend on book sales for my income.
There you go.
More of a hobby and a labor of love. And I mean, you know, you write, you do it to share.
Yes.
If you get lucky, that's all the better. If I made a lot of money, I'd be a great philanthropist. I love to
help people
with community efforts and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
I remember there's a guy, he lives here, or he used to live right up the hill from me. His name's Covert Bailey. He was from MIT, and he wrote a book back in like the 70s or 80s called Fit or Fat. And it was one of the first kind of books that dealt with your metabolism and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I was at lunch with him, and he was the speaker. Anyway, he said, "Well, you're not going to do a lot. You're not going to make much money if you write a book unless you sell a couple million copies." And then he got this big smile, and you make $1 a copy. And then he kind of grinned and left. But yeah, I remember that very well.
Yeah, that you know, I guess children's books really sell well, and romance novels, if that's a big genre.
Yeah.
But and some of the barbecue books, you know, Melissa Cookston in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
I think her books have sold really well, and I know you've talked with Aaron Franklin. I love his book.
Yeah.
And Daniel Vaughn out of Texas. His Prophets of Smoked Meat is a really good book. So there's a lot of quality books out there, and I would have to vouch for the ones Paul and I have done too.
Well, of course.
But, you know, it just, you know, some, it depends partly on marketing, and I don't know.
Well, when you're that deeply involved in an industry, or you know, whether you want to call it a hobby or a profession, it doesn't matter. But when you're that deeply involved, you've got a lot of helpful hints and a lot of good information to give people. So I'm not sure it matters to make $1 million. I think it's just good to get it out there.
It's just a matter of sharing and, getting it out there. And it's sort of comforting to know that it's a part of your legacy. I mean, if once we're gone, all those books stay in the Library of Congress, at least, even if they're out of print.
Sure.
So, nice thought, anyway, to know that your legacy goes on.
Really quickly, Artie, we're gonna go to break here in another couple minutes. But
okay,
excuse me. When you were talking about it in the first segment, your ethics little oath that you wrote. What prompted you to write that? Was that just something you felt, or was that something that we've only got about a minute, so.
Yeah, that goes back to what I was saying about sociology. You know, you learn the importance of ritual, ceremony, and I just thought, you know, it would add value to the contest and help the judges take it seriously.
Sure.
And partly tongue in cheek to recite an oath, and they loved it, and it's just been a hit ever since.
Well, there you go. There you go.
People feel bonded after they take that oath.
We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Artie, our new friend here, Artie Davis, and leave you with a little Reba till we come back. Here we go.
It's a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now, with Barbecue Nation, here's JT.
Let her hair down. She tears my heart out when she starts to sing. She's from the right side of Red River. And she's pretty as a picture. Well, don't you know she's this old cowboy's dream?
Oh, yeah, little Reba and Vince Gill there. Oklahoma Swing here on Barbecue Nation and the Radio Northwest Network. I'm JT along with Reynolds. And we've got Artie Davis with us today. Don't forget, if you want to email us, it's barbecuenation@kxl.com. Also, excuse me, I've been fighting this cold for about 2 weeks, and I'm about done here. I'm thinking about getting a head replacement or something. Anyway, we've run a little contest there on Facebook, and some people have posted some stuff, and I was going to tell you, Chris Shook. Yeah, I said that right. From down in Santa Rosa. In that area, he's posted some kind of cool stuff, some salmon on there. So, Chris, if you're listening, send me your address and I'll send you something out of a prize drawer. How's that? Okay? He listens to us every week down there. So back with Artie Davis. Artie, over the years from your involvement in barbecue, how has your cooking changed?
Well, you know, there are several styles, as you know. There's contest style, and I tend to, you know, Paul Kirk's always telling me, write it down, what you did, and keep a journal, and then if it works, you can repeat it. I'm terrible about doing that. I think it's good advice, but I don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned a lot from just watching cooks and sometimes helping with other cooks, that kind of thing.
Sure.
That's a good question. I started for, like, brisket was my biggest challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I used what we now call the Texas crutch. I would smoke it a while and then wrap it in aluminum foil, kind of steam it. Now I don't do that. Paul helped me. He weaned me from that.
Oh, did he?
Class, his pitmaster class. You really don't need aluminum foil, although it's still widely used. But I like to cook the brisket fat side up, and it just takes a long time, low and low, 12, 14, 16 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's so wonderful. And although I do the sauce contest, started it, and now it's has its own legs. The best compliment you can give me on my barbecue is this doesn't need any sauce. You know, I don't go heavy on seasonings. I like the Texas style of pepper and salt.
Mm-hmm.
Not over-salted. It's just, you just kind of learn what works. You get to know your cooker, too. I'm a backyard cook, and I use a Weber kettle.
Mm-hmm.
And each one, even though it's the same brand, same model and everything, each one has its own little quirks.
Sure.
And so some of them cook hotter and faster than others and that kind of thing. You just kind of learn what that's going to do for you. And I don't know. I'd like to say mine keeps getting better, but I still mess up sometimes. You know,
I would say
you should have taken notes.
Well, we all do, but I do think that you kind of get to a comfort level too when you're cooking.
Yes.
And
yes,
things kind of come second nature to you, and you can and do the right thing.
Exactly.
Without even thinking about it.
I used to think, well, the more smoke the better, and that really isn't true. Too much smoke and you're going to have bitter flavor in your meat.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you just learn all that stuff as you go along, and there are tons of books out there that go through the basics.
Oh, sure.
I have one on smoking that continues to really sell well. One on grilling. Everybody thinks they know how to grill, so that doesn't sell as well. But, there's a lot of knowledge out there. People listening to your show are going to learn a lot. You know, I imagine you've done the planked salmon.
Oh, yeah.
Which you were making me hungry talking about that.
Well, and, you know, when you do, we're up here on the coast, and so we've got lots of fish, lots of seafood.
Yeah, so you have all that good alder wood.
Oh, yeah, so we've got everything that you need here. And so it's a little different. I mean, we still cook a lot of beef and a lot of pork and all that, but, excuse me, you know, when it comes to plank salmon, or I even grill smoked salmon, depending on what I'm doing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Sometimes I won't even put it on a plank. I've got an old offset firebox smoker that I bought about 20 years ago. It was a cheap unit then. It'd probably be a lot cheaper now because the damn thing's falling apart. But it still works, and I can put a salmon in there, fillet, skin side down, and smoke it, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. So
you've gotten to know that cooker, so you know.
Oh yeah,
that's
yeah.
What I mean, it's like it becomes a part of your cooking tool.
Yeah, and it's a nasty looking tool. Bugger too.
I mean,
I mean the paint's, you know, been cooked off, and the wood, little wood tray on the outside, it's pretty much kind of not there anymore. And anyway, it's a good little unit.
Good heavy gauge steel, because 20 years, that's remarkable.
Yeah, but it's worked, and I've hauled it many places when I was doing things for people. I don't take it anymore, but I did I did for a long time. So I'm going to ask you, we got the lightning round up? Okay. We do this thing, Artie, it's called the lightning round, and I ask you some ridiculous questions, and you can give me really absurd answers if you want to. And the other thing, I'm going to be doing this from memory today because I left my script at home, which is fine because I've been doing this long enough. So are you ready?
I'll try.
Okay. Artie Davis, Hall of Famer. Please fill in the blank on this sentence. Liquid smoke should be used for?
Nothing.
Okay. That's a good answer.
It's a very common answer.
It's a very common
answer. A lot of the guests on the show.
Yes. Yes, it is. I think we've had some that said they should use it for cleaning bathrooms or something. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
If you use it at all, it should be very moderate.
Very moderate, yeah. Okay. where's the worst place you ever had to cook?
Worst place? Golly. Well, right on the Mississippi River in Memphis, it was cold. It was an all-night deal. During the day it was fun, but the cooking at night was not fun.
There you go. What's your favorite thing to cook? Brisket, ribs, chicken?
I do ribs most often. I've really grown passionate about beef short ribs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Aaron Franklin mentions that that's his favorite, and I tried it, and I love it. I see exactly why he loves them.
Yeah, they're awful good. Which of these would you rather grill or smoke? Christmas goose, Thanksgiving turkey, a Yule log, or the Easter bunny?
Easter bunny.
There you go. I think he's the first one that said the Easter bunny. We have somebody else?
That's incorrect. There's about three.
About three?
I can't give you specific names.
Okay. We'll have to fact check that.
Tail and squirrel, so.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, well, we had Myron on last week, and he was going squirrel hunting when we were done with the show, so.
Yeah.
He's a wild man.
I go down to his part of the country for the big pig jig in Vienna.
Mm-hmm.
It's right next door to him.
There you go.
Good guy.
Okay, some more of the lightning round questions here. Have you ever cooked in the snow in your underwear?
No.
Okay.
I've cooked in the snow, but
not in your underwear. Okay. Then I guess the next question would probably be sort of relevant. Boxers or briefs?
Briefs.
Okay. What's the one thing that people, when they're starting to learn to barbecue or grill, what's the one kind of common thing that is hard for them to learn?
Be patient.
Yep. Don't lift the lid. Don't peek.
Yep.
Okay. And out of all the things that you've done in barbecue, what do you think is your most fun thing you've done?
Most fun? I love to give the oath at the Kansas City Barbecue Society's contest. That's always a lot of fun.
All right.
But,
no, that's good.
You know, there's so much other fun things.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break. I think he passed, Reynolds. I think already passed the lightning round there. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to be back on, quit scratching my nose, here on Barbecue Nation right after this.
It's Barbecue Nation with Jeff Tracy.
Well, mama washed and combed and curled my hair, and she painted my eyes and lips. Then I stepped into a satin.
Hey, welcome back to the Nation. That's Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network. I'm JT along with Reynolds. We have got Artie Davis with us, Hall of Fame member, recently inducted into the Hall of Fame, like in 2016. Artie was one of the founders pushing for KCBS to be in the Royal. He's done all kinds of things. I mean, I could sit here and just read you his bio for an hour. He's done that much stuff. Is there anything in barbecue you want to do, Artie, that you haven't done yet?
Well, there's always, you know, there are lots of contests that I haven't been privileged to go to, just, you know, because of scheduling and all that. I'd love to do more in some other countries. I've been in Italy. I know Sweden and Austria and Switzerland. There are barbecuers over there.
Mm-hmm.
Germany. I'm just enjoying meeting new people, maintaining old friendships. I mean, it's an exciting niche if you like barbecue and if you like food and you like people. There's just always fun stuff to do. So I wish I could, I don't know. Like you say, the wish list could go on and on.
Yeah, well, if you really want to have some fun, go to Australia. I've been there a few times.
Yeah.
And grill.
I'd love to do that.
Barbecue with those people. They take it.
Yeah.
Rather seriously, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, in New Zealand, too. I was in touch with a guy in New Zealand who has a barbecue restaurant, and I can tell he has a passion for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have lots of friends from Australia who come over here. I haven't been there yet.
But, sure. No, it's a lot of fun. In fact, they showed me, the cook, they showed me how to kind of grill oysters. And the way they do it down there, which is a great recipe, and involves some Worcestershire and some garlic and some what they called Canadian bacon, but, you know, it's just bacon and some chopped up shallots. And, man, it was good. And I don't even like oysters that much, but that stuff was great.
I love them. I didn't think I would, but a friend in Maine taught me how to eat them, and I've been passionate about them ever since. And charcoal grilled oysters are great.
Oh yeah!
Place in Memphis on Main Street near Beale Street, I think it's called Pearls. Oh, they have great oysters, charcoal grilled with Parmesan, garlic. You'd love them.
You'd love them. That's good. We got about 2 minutes left, and is there anything you'd like to see barbecue, the competitive world of barbecue, or the media world of barbecue?
Well,
get out there and do.
One thing I keep pushing in the restaurant world is, why don't we see more barbecue tacos, even breakfast barbecue tacos?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you go to Dallas, Fort Worth, you'll find them all over the place. Finally, we have one place I ate in this week. It's called Q39 in Kansas City that's doing a pulled pork taco.
Mm-hmm.
It's just out of this world. And it just seems like a natural. The tacos are so easy to make, and you already have the meat. You can pull the chicken or shred the beef or pull the pork, put it in the tortilla and top it with some good stuff, slaw or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to see more of that. And, you know, burritos, and it's just a natural. Tamales, even, like McLard's in Arkansas, they grind up their smoked pork and make tamales with it.
Well, we can do that.
You know, just more utilizing some more of the ethnic influences and, you know, applying it to barbecue.
Well, there you go. Artie Davis, Hall of Famer, author of about a gazillion books on barbecue and sauces, and generally a good guy. Thanks for being with us on Barbecue Nation. I really appreciate
it. Thank you, JT. It's been a pleasure.
No problem. Folks, we're going to get out of here for the week. And Reynolds and I will be back next week with another guest, of course. And till then, remember our motto around here, turn it, don't burn it. Till then, we'll see you next time.
Barbecue Nation is produced by Alpha Media USA in association with JTSD Productions LLC. All rights reserved, copyright 2016. Barbecue Nation is managed skillfully by Reynolds in production compound 4 high above the skyline of PDX, the one with no windows. We'll be back next week with another entertaining and fun edition of Barbecue Nation. At least, that's what we believe. Remember, a good long smolder is better than a 2-minute flameout. See you next week.